Would the children come forward, please? Hi, everybody. We have a good crowd today. Good morning. Glad you're here. Hey. Does anybody know what we call this meal that's sitting here on this table? What do we call the meal that's sitting there on that table? Nobody knows what it's called. What? Easter food? It kind of is Easter food. Have you heard the term communion? Somebody's got to have heard it. Yeah. Somebody's heard it. Communion, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. In some churches, they call it Eucharist. This meal is a remembrance of Jesus. And the reason that we do this is because when Jesus was alive and teaching his friends, do you see that picture? Are they at table? Are they eating at a table? That might be a little bit of what it looked like. He was having a last meal with his friends, the students who had followed him everywhere. And he was teaching them. And I'm going to get stuck in my robe here, aren't I? He was teaching them by using the food that they were going to eat anyway. Okay, do you see the people eating at the table? Do you see that? Do you see that, Vincent? Yeah? Yeah, Lane, do you see? Okay. So the reason that we've got it, I'm going to step right through here, kids. The reason that we have this food up here, what's this? Bread! We got that one. Yeah, we got bread. We have bread. And do you know what's in here? Juice! That's right. There's grape juice in here. Sometimes we do it this way, where we tear off a piece and we dip it in the cup of juice, right? And sometimes we all do it this way. And we take it and we eat it, don't we? See, there's juice and there's bread there, right? And we call this communion, and the reason that we do that is because, I'm going to go back through here. Thank you. The reason that we do that is because Jesus told us to use these things, the bread, and he probably used wine, but we use grape juice. And he told us to do that and use it to remember him. He said, every time you do this, remember me. And so for 2,000 years, people who believe in Jesus and who love God have done this, remembrance of him. They have shared this meal. And this meal has lots of purposes. One of the purposes is to bring us all together. We're all eating from one loaf of bread. And Christians all around the world share in communion. So all around the world, the followers of Jesus are sharing bread and wine or juice to remember him. All right. Any questions? Okay, we're going to have this feast at the end of the worship, and you're going downstairs with Wanda, and you're going to practice the bells, and then at the end of the worship, you can come up. And if your family says it's okay, you're welcome to come up and share communion with everybody else. Okay? All right. We're going to get in a circle and say a prayer, and then I have erasers in my pocket. Anybody want those?
I do.
Yeah, I thought so. Come on. Let's get your brother in here. Here we go. Jesus, we thank you for sharing your meals with us, for providing us all that we need. We ask you each time we take communion to help us remember you, to help us show the world what a feast you are what a joyous life you provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very good. And I have... Yeah, I know. I think I have enough. If not, I can go over and get some more. I got all kinds of erasers there. I got flowers and soccer balls and a football and there's a duck and happy faces and... Everybody get one? You got one? You got a flower. Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want a different flower? Yeah, you have the same one. Thank you. Please, would you pray with me? Provider, sustainer, creator, we worship you. We sing your praises. We give you thanks. We await your call. Help us shape our words, our priorities, and our days to reflect your vision for your world. Jesus, Shepherd, how blessed we feel. We get to cheer your arrival. We are welcome at your table. May we always rejoice in serving you. May we trust you with all we are. Spirit, Holy Breath, restore us, inspire us, make us humble, make us bold, make us peaceful, make us yours. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 14 to 26. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What will you give me if I betray him to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, Surely not I, Lord. He answered, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. He replied, You have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Here ends the reading from Matthew 26. My message this morning is called Restored. Brace yourself, another one of those non-rhetorical questions is coming up. That means I actually want you to answer. Jesus knew going into Jerusalem would be deadly, but he did what he was called to do. Did he sneak in at night quietly? Ever read parodies, like Mad Magazine? Ever watch parodies on TV, shows that take a reliable format and turn it onto its funny side? Well, every year the Romans made a big show entering Jerusalem. You know, grand stallions, thrones, trumpets and all. The Romans knew that the Jews gathered for Passover. And if there was going to be an insurrection, that would be the time when the Jews celebrated their escape from the Egyptian king. So the Roman governor, who lived in Caesarea on the Galilean coast, would make a big show of entering the city to remind everyone who was powerful, who was in charge. So now you know the parody. On the other side of Jerusalem, toddling along on a young donkey, is a poor carpenter in a grubby robe. No trumpets, no colorful banners or lush flowers on the poor side of town. Jesus enters to shouts of Hosanna, God saves. The children took branches off the trees and waved them. The men lay their cloaks before his donkey, a mockery of imperial power and authority, and everyone knew Jesus was there. A holy time of gathering with friends and distant family. The story is in the book of Exodus. Passover, time to remember and celebrate when faithful Jews, their ancestors, enslaved by Pharaoh, marked their households to ask that they be spared the punishment aimed at Egyptian overlords. Those who did not mark their houses lost their firstborn children and animals. Passover, thus, was a remembrance and celebration of God's protection of the faithful. Jesus and his friends would celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. The room was found, the meal was prepared, Jesus ate with his followers. Imagine him with a sigh, telling them that one of them would betray him. How did he feel? What would your reaction be if you had spent months or years walking all across the country to teach them all the loves of God's realm? Love God, love neighbor, love enemy, love one another. And you realize one of the followers who had been with you all along had sold you to be killed. What would your reaction be? Would you scream, punch him, have him killed? Get everyone to throw him out while you run for the hills? What have you wanted to do when someone betrayed you? Secretly or out in the open? Come on, what did you want to do? Get even. Any other answers? Withdraw from their presence. Think back to your betrayals. Who laughed when you needed help? Who lied about you? Cheated on you? Got you in trouble? Turned friends against you? Were you sweet and forgiving instantly? Did you tell your friends what a nasty son of a gun your betrayer was? Did you maybe tell tales, exaggerate his failings, let her friends know how awful she really is? What are the typical human reactions to betrayal? Jesus was not fooled. Our Redeemer knew that people wanted to kill him. He knew that Judas was selling him to his enemies. In fact, Jesus knew that all those who had followed him uphill and down would scatter like frightened sheep when the shepherd was killed. Jesus knows all of our failings, all the lies, the cheating, the denials, the pride, the selfishness. Jesus knows and loves us still. Jesus knew that Judas had sold him for a purse full of silver. Jesus knew that all the men and most of the women he loved most dearly would run and hide while the powerful executed him. And what was his response? He prepared a feast for them. The Passover meal. He thanked God. He blessed the bread, broke it into pieces, and fed them. Jesus used that everyday food, simple barley bread, to help them understand, to help them remember that he gave all willingly for them. No matter what they did, no matter how dreadfully they failed, no matter how many times they betrayed him, he still loved them. Jesus still provided for them. No matter how many times they wandered off into selfishness or foolishness, they were welcome at his table. All his gifts were for those whom he loved. We are welcome at the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how many times we deny him, no matter what we worship instead of God, no matter how many times we have lied, cheated, stolen, or betrayed, we are forgiven. We are fed. We are invited to the banquet. We are welcome. We are loved. Some of you may have met him. Our family has a dog. Routinely, we tell him he's the world's worst dog. He's not, but he's in the running. We rescued him at 1.5 years. A trainer told us he is the hardest-headed dog she'd ever met. He made our vet tech daughter cry. A retriever mix, compelled to carry a toy in his mouth most of the time. He'll play fetch as long as you have him on a rope and pull him all the way in. If alone in the kitchen, Bailey will cruise the counters for bread, tortillas, cookies, asparagus, bananas, oven mitts, and eat them, even the oven mitts. We keep mousetraps set on the couch because mousetraps are the only thing he fears. His first reaction to everything is barking, and it's a pretty good sized bark. I want to be outside, bark. I love being outside, bark. There's a squirrel, bark. There are no more squirrels, bark. I think I see people way down at the other end of the street, bark, 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 bark. You have not paid any attention to me in, minutes, bark. If we call him in out of the yard, he does not want in. If we close the door, he barks that he's been abandoned. Shame on us. When I was a kid, my parents had a kennel. I have raised and trained all kinds of cats, dogs, birds, and horses, and now I personally own the world's worst dog. Bailey gets expensive food to address his delicate digestive needs. Bailey is bathed, trimmed, vaccinated, and treated. He gets to play in the snow and track mud in the house. He sleeps on soft beds near his favorite people. He gets his jaw rubbed and his rump scratched multiple times every day. Bailey gets a life much better than he deserves, as do almost all of us. We get clean water to drink and more than enough to eat. We have soft beds and comfy couches, entertainment systems, and cars that start when we simply turn a key. Jesus asks us to feed his sheep, forgive 77 times, turn the other cheek, care for widows and orphans, protect aliens, and love our enemies. And even when we neglect every single item on our to-do list, Jesus loves us. We are welcomed back at the table, back in the arms of the one who loves us no matter what. We do not deserve such love, yet we are loved anyway. Maybe, just for this week or for this day, we could try to be obedient. Amen.